Hey there. Welcome back to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that makes your day a little bit brighter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie.
Carrie is an internationally best-selling children's book author.
Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not.
And as usual, we're joined by our dog, Sparty. Sparty's a guy.
We'll be giving dog tips and writing tips, and we always start off with a random thought of the day, which most often happens in bed. So with us, and maybe you'll learn something.
Hopefully.
But maybe not.
Random thought time.
So we've turned off the light. Sparty just sighed. I don't know if you heard that, but that's Sparty the dog sighing. That's Sean sighing. And that other really annoying sound. Can you hear it? Almost sounds like the ticking of a clock. That's Gabby the dog licking herself, which she does every night. She's like a cat. She grooms herself. Sean is here too. He's just...
I'm trying to listen to Gabby because it almost sounds like she might have a toy. It kind of sounds like rubber.
Oh, maybe.
She will have to go away.
That would require putting the light on.
Yes, and getting out of bed. Both of which you can do easily, but not right now.
That's a lot of effort. What?
I don't like this room.
You don't like this room?
Too big or something.
So we've relocated into another room in the house because Sean is putting down flooring in our bedroom. And we had to take all the things out of our bedroom to do that. So there's a giant mattress in the guest bedroom. All this other stuff's in Emily's room. Like, it's the whole house is discombobulated, which is not a good thing for me because I like order.
Everything's orderly.
Which doesn't make any sense because I'm a writer and you think, oh, creative. But yeah, no. Like, too much clutter makes me feel anxious. Like, I visually... Why are you laughing?
Oh, nothing. Because that's a true statement, actually.
Compared to the rest of my family, I'm so messy. Like, everyone else in my family was anally neat. Like,
yeah, well, you're not anally neat.
No, they were so clean. And they didn't have any clutter. Like, it's almost psychopathic lack of clutter. You know, like...
Yes, I know what you mean. I'm not familiar with that whatsoever in my life, basically, but I do know what you mean.
When Sean grew up, it was not like my house. How's that? Gabby growled. Fine. Did you hear her?
Yeah, I heard that growl. She must have a toy.
I don't know
either. But she didn't move, she just growled.
Maybe she was just growling about your childhood and all the clutter.
Well, it wasn't really that. It's not like I didn't live in a house of hoarders. It's just that for some reason, throughout my entire childhood, like we never ate at my house. We never ate at the kitchen dining room table because it was always covered with stuff.
That's so weird.
Always did have bills laid out on it and just stuff.
See, my mom would not have handled that.
Slowly grow.
Slowly grow. Years. My mom like straightened up the house every night. Every night.
Well.
Yeah.
We have one person like that in my family, but she's not genetically related. It's a marriage thing. So.
Oh, really?
Apparently the super tiny genes aren't in me.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, back when you were in your other profession... Before this, everyone always made fun of you because you were so...
I was just anal about my desktop.
Which you're not at home.
Not my computer desktop, but the physical top of my desk.
Which you totally aren't now.
No.
No.
Not really.
No.
I'm just too busy. The arranging papers.
There's a roll of toilet paper on top of the desk.
That's for runny noses.
It's a roll of toilet paper.
Well, there's a difference between a home desk and a desk where you get paid for 8 hours to sit at every day.
Oh,
it's, I would expect that one to be neat and tidy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I just earned my money.
Like making your desk really tiny. People at his work would move things just to see if he would notice.
Yeah.
And he noticed.
Most times.
Which is something totally different between Sean and I, because even though I can't handle clutter, I don't notice if you move anything.
Or if you leave a sweet, loving message on your desktop.
I don't notice if someone leaves a sweet, loving.
This time I am referring to the computer desktop.
I don't notice anything.
So 2 or 3 days, she'll pick it up.
It's really bad. I don't know why.
Because I always leave you a message, and it's like, you, all you see probably is like white letters on a black background. Like, you don't even look at it, probably. You're just used to words being there all the time. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Maybe.
They're the same format, the same font, the same color, the same size. The only thing that differs is the amount and the layout of the short paragraph.
That's kind of a character flaw, isn't it?
No, not at all. I wasn't saying that in a negative way.
Oh, no, I didn't think you were being a meanie face. I was being the meanie face to myself.
It's like, you know, living in a house for so many years and not noticing until tonight that the office ceiling is like, was painted white over top of probably primer, but like they didn't even get anywhere close to the edge. All the way around, you can see all the roller marks where they stopped. Because you can see the older primer underneath.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be okay, because it took me that long to notice. So.
Wow.
It's all right.
It'll all be okay.
It'll all be
it's
fine.
It's all okay. Hey, at least we have a house.
As long as, yeah, we do have a house.
As long as what?
I was gonna say, as long as Syria doesn't nuke us, but, and that was meant to be a joke, because I know they don't have nuclear capability, but,
Wow, you brought this down, man. Brought it so down.
Why did I ring it?
Because I was like trying to be hopeful, like, hey, yeah, we don't notice things, and hey, yeah, like the ceiling's kind of messed up because they didn't paint it before we bought the house. But hey, at least we have a house and we're so lucky. And then you're like, yeah, unless we all die in a war.
So, you know, it's totally human nature not to notice those things. Everybody does it.
You didn't even admit the fact that you brought us down.
Oh, I totally glossed over that.
Yeah, I know.
I know. On purpose. I didn't bring myself down. Sorry I brought you down.
You brought me down.
I do that all the time, constantly. But. You know. So I apologize for that.
That's really not a thing you have to apologize for.
What, bringing you down?
Well, not in this case.
I didn't really bring you down.
Oh, I was kind of... I was just trying to, like, leave the random thought.
We have a fantastic house, is the truth of the matter.
And be like, hey, yay, we have a place to live. We're so lucky.
I mean, I can't hardly even sleep in... This is like a almost a 700 square foot bedroom.
It's over the garage.
Which
that's
is,
why.
Not indicative of the rest of our
no.
house.
You're, like, you could fit an apartment in this room.
This is a quarter of the whole house, so it's definitely not indicative, but it's too big for just the bedroom. And I still feel like we're laying inside of a spaceship. Because of the angle of the ceiling.
What if we were?
Well...
What if, like, it could detach and it could become a spaceship?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And we just have to find, like, the secret button. Although it probably wouldn't have a button because it would be that advanced.
Right, no button.
So what would it be?
I don't know. Maybe that green light up at the very top of the ceiling.
Well, go touch that.
Oh, it's 20 feet up in the air. How am I going to touch it?
Jump.
How about if you stand on my shoulders?
All right.
And I'll stand on top of the chair.
What is that green light?
It's the power button for the spaceship. Oh. That's why it's still here, because nobody can touch it.
Writing tip of the pod.
So sometimes in life we want to be memorable, right? And sometimes not so much. Sean is so tall and formidable, and he talks really slowly for people in Maine. And distinctively that he doesn't have much choice in being memorable or not, because he's that different. Me, I can kind of fade into a wall if I want to. And just blend.
Or sit on the floor.
I hide on the floor a lot, honestly. Because I was the youngest in my family and we had no chairs. And now that's one of my defining traits. I'm the grown-up woman who sits on the floor instead of the couch.
I gotta clarify something real quick. No. I'm sorry.
This is gonna be the longest podcast ever.
No, it'll be 2 seconds if you let me talk. So did you mean that I talk slow compared to the people of Maine? Because you said for the people of Maine.
Yeah.
But I don't talk like, can you understand me? It's more of the comparative thing, right?
Yeah, it's the comparative thing. Oh, man.
Back to the show.
So in writing, there are plenty of simple things that you can do to make sure people remember your character. One is to actually have to mention the character a lot. You want to talk about that character every 30 or 40 pages in a novel. People forget the characters they don't see. And this is true in real life, too. Remind people you're out there. Give them a cool name. Carrie Jones is not a cool name. Give. Just give. Like in real life and in writing, giving matters. People remember kindness. So give them something that makes them stand out physically and intrinsically if they're your character. So what do I mean by that? I mean like give them something like a tattoo, a way of bending their foot to the side when they talk, long pauses when they talk like Shawnee. I called you Shawnee.
Yeah, I know.
In public. I'm so sorry.
We do.
No, we're not redoing it. So give them a strong personality tape. Do the work to make them memorable. And focus. In real life, it's the people who focus on one goal or strategy or process who tend to make a big bang. You remember them. And that's true for your story, too. And finally, the one that hits closest to home for us, is embrace your quirkiness. This is really linked to being memorable. Being quirky might make you a bully kid or a bully grown-up, but when you've embraced that difference inside of you, your originality, your authenticity, that's when people remember you. If you're in a room full of a dozen white guys in suits, none of those guys are gonna pop out in other people's memories. It's that woman in the flowing skirt that you're going to remember. Why are you laughing?
It could be the big tall guy in the suit.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
Who's this woman comes bebopping up and says, "Hey, Shawnee." Then he's gonna be memorable.
Cause it'll be blushing. Yeah. All right. So if you take all of those helpful hints, which will be on the blog, and kind of gel them down into one writing tip of the cast, it would be what makes your book characters memorable is also like what makes you memorable. Don't be afraid to be your authentic, quirky, original self who can't talk like me doing a podcast right now.
You talk just fine.
Dude, I said district for din. I can't even say. District for difference.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That's right. That happens.
I'm going to go be hard on myself. And we'll put the dog tip in 1 second.
I'll be hard on you.
Hey!
Dog tip for life. Sparty's been sitting right outside the door staring at us the whole time. Like he still is.
It's awkward.
But he got to come in for a minute. And he said, "Hey, barking or barking is a good way to remind people that you exist, even if you're stuck in the house during a blizzard or a tornado.
We don't have tornadoes here.
Yeah, I know, but dogs don't just live here. It's okay.
All right.
Anyways, remind people that you're out there. Silence isn't miserable. It's oppressive.
Silence is miserable. You said miserable for memorable. You did what I did.
Oh, yeah.
You can't talk today.
I can't even read. Silence isn't memorable.
Oh, my God.
And that can be pretty miserable. So remember, silence isn't memorable. It's oppressive. Your voice, the hers. Stop. She's making fun of me.
Out of the corner of my eye. I feel so much better about myself now.
That was I gotta do it one more time.
The whole
so
thing.
Remember, silence isn't memorable. It's oppressive. Your voice deserves to be heard, and most importantly, there's no money in modesty if
dogs
you want to be a
that.
Successful author.
Or dog.
He does. His currency is food.
And he is so proud of the things he can do and achieve.
That's right.
Right?
For nothing. Piece of steak.
Cheese on crow.
So for the tips that go with this podcast, the actual written down intellectual tips, go to carriejonesbooks.blog and you'll find those there under the Dogs Are Smarter Than People podcast page.
What if I accidentally put in carriejonesbooks.com?
Then you kind of have to go to the tab on the left-hand side where it says dogs are smarter than people, too. It's all connected, man.
I'm glad.
Also on Thursdays, I've started a Cooking with a Writer blog where we subject Shauna vegetarian recipes every week. And I approach those recipes with the sobbing, angst-ridden humor of the writer. It's quirky. It's funny.
It's funny as hell. What, some of my friends might listen to this blog. So when you said angst-ridden, that's not like a German dessert.
Oh
that means she's angst-ridden.
Oh, this is the angst.
So, yeah.
There you go.
I'm eating out a lot on Thursday nights.
No, you are not. You're eating all the vegetarian food. Don't be a poser. Be authentic.
They've all been good. They've all been really good. So
they've ate more times. They've all been good.
How many?
Eight.